when there is dysfunction in the marital bed, and when there's not a healthy sexual relationship happening in the marital bed, it opens up the door for spiritual attack.
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, welcome to Straight Talk. This is Mark Jobe. Great to be with all of you listeners all the way from northern Indiana to greater Chicagoland to up by the Wisconsin border, and so many of you that listen from all over the world via the internet. I want to let you know that if you find this program broadcast at an inconvenient time, we have a solution just for you. Thousands of people already have downloaded the Straight Talk app. So we have hundreds of messages that you can just listen to at your leisure. I want to highlight especially today those of you that are in a marriage or struggling with your family. I have a passion to see families operate in their God-given, healthy destiny. And I spend a lot of my time talking to marriages that are struggling or parents that are working with children that are in difficult seasons of their life. And so here's a couple series that I want to just highlight, let you know that we have on our app. We have a series entitled God, Love, Sex. For those of you wrestling through this whole issue of sexuality and purity, especially if you're dating or even if you're married, we tackle that topic. Also have In His Image, Renewing Your Relationships. This is all about relationships and how God transforms those relationships. Have a series also for those of you that are married or getting married, a series entitled Before and After I Do. The meaning of I Do, this is all about marriage and marriage relationships. Also have a series that's been super popular called His Needs, Her Needs. If you're getting married or if you're in a marriage relationship right now, I got an email recently from someone that said that that series has transformed their message around. It was a husband who wrote to me and said that series helped me understand my wife and my responsibility in a fresh new way, and our marriage is at a whole different level. So His Needs, Her Needs. Download the app as soon as you can. It's free, and you can download it by going to www.pastormarkjobe.com. That's pastormarkjobe.com. I hope you find this resource to be an incredible encouragement to your spiritual life.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Straight Talk. Glad to have you back with us. Pastor Mark continues his message called God's Ground Rules for Sexuality and Marriage, which is part of our series called Straight Talk on Singleness, Sex, and Marriage today. Let's jump right into the message. We'll be in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 9. Here's Pastor Mark with this edition of Straight Talk.
What you will end up discovering is that as you pursue God with all your heart and mind, you will end up finding that you are the most fulfilled individual on the face of this earth, because it's not all about you, it's about Him. And you will be much more of a delight to be married to, by the way, because it's not all about you, it's about God. And God says it's about them. And as you pursue making them happy as well, you will discover that you are a fulfilled, satisfied, joy-filled individual. Hello? Some of you are married right now, and you have nasty, poor, depressing sex lives. And you're always trying to rev it up somehow, and always moaning and complaining about it. Let me tell you where to start. Start by saying, it's not about me. It's not about me. That's where it starts. It's not about me. Take your eyes off yourself and say it's about God. And start asking yourself this question: how can I love my spouse? You say, well, you know, we're really dysfunctional in the sexual area. Well, you know what? Sex doesn't start in the bedroom. It starts in the morning with a cup of coffee. It starts with the words that you say throughout the week, throughout the day. It starts with a hand touch. It starts with an arm around the shoulder. It starts with a word of encouragement. You wonder why she's cold as ice. You walk in with your dirty, dirty old shoes and dump them wherever. You complain about your day. You moan about the food. You argue. You criticize. You kick the dog. You shout about her mother. You complain about her weight. And then when it comes nighttime, you expect that she's going to be just ready to go. And you say, I don't understand it. You see, it's all about getting a God perspective on this area of sexuality. The next point that the Apostle Paul makes, by the way, is in verse 5, he says, do not deprive each other except by mutual consent for a time so that you may devote yourselves to prayer, then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. He goes on to say that there is no reason in marriage at all that we should be depriving one another sexually. Some people had decided, hey, it's a higher call to be celibate. The problem was they were married and their partner didn't want to be celibate. And so Paul says, hey, there's no reason. And they had spiritualized their celibacy and said, well, I'm doing this for God. And their husband was saying, well, you're doing this for God. What about me? And Paul says, hey, there is no reason that you should be depriving one another from sexual intimacy. Now, let me say this. Married couples play a lot of funny games when it comes to sexuality. There's a lot of leverage, a lot of manipulation. It's a lot of withholding until I get. I really want that new dining room set, honey. No, you can't have it. We're watching our budget. And suddenly there's consecutive days of headaches. Leverage, games people play, depriving, trying to get our way, trying to play these games. And the Apostle Paul says, wait a second, be done with that because that's not part of God's plan for your marriage. In fact, he addresses another thing I think that's just as critical and crucial. For example, some of you were raised and you were taught, for example, you were taught that the Virgin Mary, that she married Joseph, and that for some reason she never had sex with her husband, although she lived with him for many, many years. And that she never had kids. So she married her husband and she was celibate in marriage for many, many years. Why have we been taught that? Well, because a lot of us have this distorted view of sex, almost as though sex were something bad or unholy or ungodly. And if Mary was such a blessed, godly person, how in the world could she have sex with her husband? And I want to present the opposite view. The Bible says that Mary had other brothers and sisters. She had other children. And if Mary was married to Joseph and did not have sex, she would be in a sinful, ungodly marriage and ungodly relationship, actually. Does that make her any less blessed because she had sex with her husband? Absolutely not. Because sex is not a low, debased thing. It's a pure and holy invention by God, given by God, designed by God, and not just for procreation, by the way, because if it were just for procreation, every time you have sex, you'd have a baby. I know some of you think that happens because you got a lot of kids. But it's not only designed just to make babies, it's designed to bring pleasure and oneness and unity and joy to that marriage that God has designed you to be in. And so the Apostle Paul says, okay, if you want to abstain, here are the rules. Number one, you both have to agree that you will abstain. It should be for a short period of time, only if you choose to devote yourself to fasting and prayer. If you say we're going to seek God for our children, and we decide to go 4 or 5 days, and we mutually agree that this is something that we want to do, he says that's okay, as long as it's short, and as long as you come together right away, and as long as you both agree to it, and, he says, make sure that you come together right away. Why? What does he say? He says, because if you so that you may devote yourselves to prayer, then come together so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of control, self-control. Let me tell you what happens. Dysfunction in our sexual intimacy in marriage opens the door for spiritual attack on our marriage. Let me say that again. When there is dysfunction in the marital bed, and when there's not a healthy sexual relationship happening in the marital bed, it opens up the door for spiritual attack so that Satan, he says, will not basically get inroads into your marriage. God has called you to oneness, and when that breaks down, it opens up the door for what kind of attack? Well, it opens up the door to resentment. It opens up the door to temptation. It opens up the door to lies. People start conniving and lying. People start raising barriers. People start... It opens up the door to all kinds of unhealthy stuff that could fester inside of your marriage. And so that God says, if you are going to be healthy and well in your marriage, then if you want to protect your marriage from attack, prayer is great. Memorizing a chapter of Scripture is great. But you really want to protect your marriage from attack? Then go home, light some candles, have a romantic dinner, and enjoy each other. That's part of the protection process that God is calling you to. Amen? Okay. So Paul deals with this whole situation of marriage and deals with their wrong perspective towards sexuality. He tries to let them know that sex is a good thing. Let me say one final word on this. There are some of you here in this auditorium that you have a distorted view of sexuality. Some of you were abused when you were a child. Some of you have been raped. Some of you got sexually active when you were very, very young and had distorted views. Some of you were in relationships where maybe you were not raped, but you were forced. You felt like it was being forced on you to be sexually involved, or maybe you were involved in some relationship where there was some sort of perversion in sexuality that you became involved in. And so when you think about sex, I've talked to couples and some of the women and some of the men, when they think about sex, sometimes they shudder. They feel like it's dirty, like it's degrading, like it's something unholy, unnatural, something that's really not of God because of their baggage. I want to say this. If you as a woman, especially I know that there's a lot of women that struggle with this, with sexual abuse. If you as a woman have a negative, dark view of sexuality as though it were unclean. There's women who in counseling with couples have told me after they have to take a shower and cleanse themselves because they feel dirty. I'm going to tell you that is not God. That is not Holy Spirit conviction. That is the enemy trying to rob you of a gift that God has given you.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled God's Ground Rules for Sexuality and Marriage. It's from our series called Straight Talk on Singleness, Sex, and Marriage. Please stay tuned to learn how you can get a free copy of this message as well as information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 7, verses 1 through 9. Pastor Mark's message today is called God's Ground Rules for Sexuality in Marriage.
And I would encourage you, first of all, go to God and start learning what healthy sexuality is. And secondly, I would encourage you, if you've tried to work through this and you haven't been able to work through this, I would encourage you to get together with a good, solid Christian counselor and work through these issues so that you can move on to enjoy the gift that God has given you and your husband. Because that is not God's perspective on sexuality. The enemy will try to rob you of something that God is trying to give you. Amen? All right, now Paul switches his attention right now, and he goes from talking to married people, and he concludes by talking to single people. Notice what he says in verse 6. I say this as concession and not as a command. What he's about to say, he's saying, I have no direct commands from Christ Jesus, he's saying, but he's given his opinion. And of course, his opinion is also inspired by Scripture, although it is his opinion. He says in verse 7, I wish that all men were as I am. Wow, well, what made Paul so special? What was Paul? Paul was celibate. He had no wife. And he says, my own personal view is, he says, I wish you were all celibate, or a bunch of you were celibate. Obviously, Paul is speaking. Paul was an evangelist at heart. He traveled from town to town, from city to city. He didn't have to worry about supporting a wife. He didn't have to worry about seeing children. He gave his entire focus to spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul was unfettered by any kind of responsibility that a family would bring upon his shoulders. And so he says, I wish that all men were as I am. But he says, of course, that's my own opinion. That's not a command of God. He says, but each man has his own gift from God. One has this gift and another has that. The word gift here is the word charisma. Now, when we see a person that's really outgoing and maybe a leader, we say he's a very charismatic leader. But the word charisma is derived from the word cherish, which is where the word grace comes from. It means grace. When the Bible talks about charisma, every single person has a spiritual gift. Some people have the gift of teaching, and some people have the gift of encouragement, and some people have the gift of administration. Everybody has their own gift. Everybody has their own charisma or charismata that's given to us by God. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. We don't work for it. God doesn't look and say, oh, this guy's a little better. Let me give him this gift. This guy's a little less. Let me give him this gift. It's totally undeserved. It's God's choice who he gives the gifts to, okay? And he says that some people are given the gift of celibacy. Now, what is the gift of celibacy? Well, the gift of celibacy is given, obviously, to singles, not married people. If you're married, forget it. You don't have the gift. The gift of celibacy is given to single individuals. Does that mean that they have no sexual drive? No, that doesn't what it mean. It means that this individual, although they may have a healthy sexual desire, it means they are not consumed with the desire to be married or not consumed by the desire for marital intimacy, but they are content in the place that they're at, and they could live single and be happy and content and not struggle enormously with sexual desires. And so Paul puts legitimate standard on celibacy and says, hey, there are some among you who have the gift of celibacy. They're not strange. They're not weird. You don't look down on them. It's a beautiful, powerful gift that God's given that should be celebrated like marriage is celebrated. Oftentimes, I think singles who aren't married in the body of Christ are viewed sometimes, they don't know where to fit in sometimes. And they keep getting the question, so when are you going to get married? So when are you going to get married? When are you going to get married? And they feel like, okay, if I'm going to be a whole individual, I have to get married soon because obviously it's expected. But Paul says, no, some of you have the gift of celibacy. Now, here's the point that he makes. Point number one is satisfied singleness is a gift from God, and it's not a matter of spiritual attainment. Being celibate makes you no more holy than someone who gets married. You're not at a higher plane. You're not more holy. You're not at a higher level. It's just a gift that God has given you, is the gift of celibacy. He goes on and he says, the second point that he makes, look what he says. He says in verse 8, now to the unmarried and widows, I say, it is good for them to stay unmarried as I am. But if they cannot control themselves, they should marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. So the second point that he makes to singles is that desire for marital intimacy is not a sign of weakness, but an indication of calling. He says, if you're single, Paul says, hey, I would rather you stay single. He says to widows who have lost their husband, or lost their wives, he says, if you're a widow here, I would rather you stay single as well. Later on in the chapter, he goes on to describe why, because there's a lot of trouble, a lot of issues happening, and he prefers them to stay single. But he says, but if they cannot control themselves, they should marry. Now, this is not in a bad way, like, hey, if you're just a big luster, go ahead and get married. I guess that's your only option. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, if you have the inbuilt desire for sexual intimacy or for marital intimacy, if your mind keeps going towards marriage and God has placed in your heart a strong desire for marriage intimacy, then chances are you don't have the gift of celibacy and you should go get married. Because, he said, it's better to marry than to burn with passion. If you're a single here today and you are burning with passion and sexual purity is a big issue for your life and it's really hard and you have a real struggle with this, but you say, right now I'm just going to stay single. I'm going to stay single for a long time. Let me ask this. Why? It's not a bad thing to desire marriage. Let me encourage you. Go get married. You say, really? Well, yeah, I mean, date first. Find a believer. Do it the right way. But get married. Why not? If you don't have the gift of celibacy, then I encourage you to get married. It's not a bad thing to desire marriage. It's not a bad thing to pursue marriage. It's not a bad thing to pray for a husband or pray for a wife. The Bible says whoever finds a good wife, he finds a great thing. Pray for it. But know what you're looking for. Do it the right way. Keep it pure. Find a believer that you're equally yoked together. And understand this. Here's the wake-up call. Hello? You say, well, I just really need to get married because I have a hard time controlling myself. Let me tell you. Self-discipline in the area of sexuality is relevant before you get married. And guess what? It's relevant when you get married. Because the truth of it is, even as a married individual, there are seasons with pregnancy or illness or whatever, or difficulty in the marriage, that it requires just as much chastity as it does before you get married. So I'm going to tell you something. If you want to be a good married man, then learn to control your desires before you get married, because after you get married, you'll still have to work on self-discipline in the area of sexuality. And if you can't control yourself before you get married, chances are when you do get married, it will help. But chances are when you do get married and you haven't learned that habit before you get married, that you'll end up struggling with adultery. So now it's not just your life, but now it's your wife's life and your life and a big mess brought upon the family. So regardless of whether you're going to get married or not get married, the bottom line is you need to work on controlling your sexual desires and sexual passions so that you submit it to God and you say, God, I want to do things your way. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now, as we close this time together, I want to say this. The bottom line of the teaching of Paul this morning is he's saying to all the married couples, God has given you a gift. And it's the gift of oneness, body, soul, and spirit. Your sexuality is not just a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing, as we saw last week. And it's an emotional and soul thing as well. I want to challenge you husbands, because normally it's the husbands that are unhappy with the level of sexuality in their marriage. I want to challenge you as husbands, cultivate healthy intimacy in your marriage. Cultivate it by cultivating your relationship.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe in Chicago with a message entitled God's Ground Rules for Sexuality and Marriage. It's from his current series called Straight Talk on Singleness, Sex, and Marriage. Join us again on the next Straight Talk as we get into our message called Being Content No Matter Who You Marry. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJob, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 25 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.